coming up on RCN Sports Talk. We'll talk with Temple football's Avery Williams about the Owls' historic season, Saturday's Memphis game, and on playing in the DMV. A look at this weekend's high school football playoff action, and we'll see where our prognosticators went wrong with last week's predictions. And who is the worst coach in the NFC East, and who has the best chance of winning this division? These topics and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk, brought to you by the Vinart Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Acura, Honda, Hyundai dealers. Good evening and welcome everyone to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. This will be our last show before the Thanksgiving holiday. Very special show lined up with some great guests in studio. But first, leading off the program, we have a very special guest joining us via the phone lines. Former Archbishop Curley High School alum from the Maryland area and also current great linebacker for Temple football, having an outstanding season with the Owls and historic season with the Temple football program overall. Mr. Avery Williams is joining us. Avery, thanks for joining us here on RCN Sports Talk tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your success and the team's success this year. I know a lot of people down in the Philadelphia area were very excited about this season. The whole winter I was hearing about the expectations. This is going to be the year, the cherry and white game, a lot of expectations. What was the offseason like for you guys and your teammates, knowing that you had the potential to do some wonderful things this season?
Well, just knowing how many weapons we had and what our defense did last year, it got us excited. It got us excited to work hard. So all us as a team, we just bonded together, and we said it's going to be the hardest offseason for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we didn't let anybody shy away from that goal. So we made the offseason as hard as possible so the season can seem like there's nothing compared to the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Penn State game, that was the first game, and I know they haven't won since 1941. Did that even kind of factor in? Because that's years before any of us were born that streak started. Did you and your teammates kind of talk about that going into that ball game, about trying to break the streak, and what was your reaction when that victory took place?
No, we weren't really talking about that. Mm-hmm. We were talking about winning every game. Every game we're going to treat it just like the same. Like, during the week, we don't even really talk about the opponent that much. We just talk about us. We focus on us and our process. And when we won the game, a lot of alum and all that were excited, but we didn't really know how big it was until, like, the alumni would tell us, like, man, we haven't beat them in so long.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. And, like, people were crying and stuff. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, I wasn't born when all this was going on, so I really can't feel all your pain and stuff. But, like, they were like, thank you, and they kept thanking us. I didn't really understand why they were thanking us, but now I do. So it felt great to see them thank us. The win was just another win, but mm-hmm. It just felt great to make the alumni happy.
Yeah, of course. I kind of sensed that among the players, too, that after that game, I was told a lot of the players didn't quite realize how big it was until they, you know, all the alumni Of course, we're looking back to 1941, the last time that a Temple team had beaten Penn State. I want to fast forward a little bit to the Notre Dame game and everything that went on the week prior to Notre Dame. You had TV stations there, radio stations were broadcasting on campus. ESPN, their game day pregame show, which is like 38 hours long, was there the Friday afternoon on campus, and then outside the link broadcasting. What was that week like leading up to the game? And at any point, was there a distraction because there were so many things going on outside the norm for you guys?
No, my coach had a meeting about that. He said, I know all this is about to come. He warned us about all the distraction, all of the attention we're going to get on campus. He said, you guys are going to be on TV 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So he just said, man, when y'all enter these gates, when you're at the Houston Hall, just focus on football. Just focus on football. Don't worry about these cameras. Don't worry about anything. And, you know, we're used to Kevin Nagandy coming around and talk to us.
Yeah.
So, like, when he came in, he's like a normal guy. He's a Temple alum, so he's just like, what's up, guys? How y'all been? And we just shook his hand and said, man, we cool. And he even told us about it. He said, man, this is what we're about to do. There's about to be a lot of cameras and stuff around here, and we're just going to have fun. Because, you know, it hasn't always been like that at Temple. Yeah. So seeing all those cameras, it got me excited. I'm not going to lie. But then I followed our process, and when I entered those gates, I just focused on ball, and I focused on the next game.
Yeah. You never like to lose a game, but looking back at that Notre Dame game, which a lot of people say it might not only be the greatest moment of the last 40 years of Temple football, it might be the greatest national performance for Temple in 121 years of football. Looking back at that, can you take something out of that loss and realize how important it was to show up and show play so well in that ball game on a national stage?
Yeah, it's all the biggest thing you need to take from that loss is to finish in the fourth quarter. We were beating them up to it was a 2-minute drill. And we couldn't do it as a defense. Mm-hmm. We let up big plays. We weren't as detailed as we were the whole game, and we let up a big play, and they scored on it. The taking from that game is the little things matter. Everything matters. You know, that's a big thing I took from that game.
Yeah, we're speaking with Avery Williams, Temple linebacker and kick returner of the Temple Owls. This Saturday, you have another big ball game. You have Memphis, currently ranked 21 in the country. Your thoughts on that ball game, and what are some of the things? You only have one conference loss now, but still a very important game. What are some of the keys that you need to do well and some of the team goals for Saturday's game?
All right. They were a pretty good quarterback. This dude, we played him twice, mm-hmm. and as a freshman, he was the same way he is now. He's a great runner, and he got a great arm. Their running backs are pretty solid. So the biggest thing for us, we got to stop the run by the quarterback and the running backs, and we just got to be as detailed as we are in the gaps, and we got to be able to get off blocks and make plays. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with a running quarterback, it always creates an extra gap in your defense. So the biggest thing for me is when they try to hit the perimeter, where I am most of the time, I have to get off the receiver or get off the tight end or O-lineman and make the play.
Yeah. I just want to ask you a little bit about playing high school football in the Maryland and DMV area. What's the level of competition like down there, and how did it get you ready to play Division I college football?
It's crazy, man, because you think about it, you're like, everybody I played against in high school, I'm playing against in college now. So it's just like, it's the same, you might as well say. Like, at first, I was a little nervous. I was like, man, I'm about to go to college. I'm about to play against these grown men. And I thought to myself, like, man, I know that dude right there. Like, I played against Maryland my freshman year, and my boy Eric Franklin was their safety. And he's talking to me like, man, it's the same thing. He said, just forget about all that. It's high school, man. You're playing against the same guys. Just keep balling and keep balling. And Maryland has such a great history of football, you might as well say, especially with guys in the league like Tavon Austin and Joe Hayden. You got guys like that you can look up to and say, man, I want to do exactly what they did. I want to do exactly what Shaky Stevenson did at Utah. I just want to be great. So the level of competition is just like it is in college in Maryland.
Last question. I'm not going to ask you any direct questions about the bowls and all the playoff implications, because you have two more games and you're focused on Memphis for this week. But if there was one place you could go, one bowl game, one stadium, one place around the country, where would you like to go play a college game?
Fiesta Bowl.
Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I just want to go to Fiesta Bowl.
Well, that sounds good. It's a good goal to have. Avery, thanks so much for joining us. Continued success to you and the Temple Owls football team.
Thanks for having me.
All right, our pleasure. Avery Williams, of course, Temple's going to be playing Memphis on Saturday at the Link. First 3,000 fans will receive a pair of fleece ear warmers. Gates open at 9 a.m., so get there early at the Link for Temple Memphis, and go to owlsticks.com to purchase your tickets in advance. Now, before we introduce our special in-studio guests, people who were with us last week know that our co-host, Mr. Joe Craig, made some pretty bold predictions on last week's program. Because he says, I make this stuff up, we have a quick recap of some of Joe's predictions on last week's show.
Should be a great game. I think Freedom's going to win the game. I just think they're too well-rounded. And Easton is just too questionable offensively.
Who will win between Easton and Freedom? By a 3-1 margin, Easton will beat Freedom. Guys, you do not agree with that, though.
No.
No. All right.
But Becca is on another level from anything they've played against. And yes. I'm not saying that it's an automatic. I'm just saying that Becca would be the favorite. And I think they'd be the favorite probably by maybe two touchdowns. But sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I know.
You know, especially if you're a Saucon Valley who did not have a very good situation when it had to play Becca last
no.
year.
Topic number two, Eagles or Redskins, who will win more games over the next 4 weeks?
Don't
the
go
Eagles,
there.
The Eagles will win more games than the Redskins, only because of the schedule.
All right, so there you heard it for yourself. He said the Eagles were going to win easily and the Redskins were going to lose. And a lot of people in the Easton and Saucon Valley people were not happy about those predictions. I got some angry emails, some angry tweets. In fact, someone even TiVo'd the show and played a clip back saying this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So here we go with a whole new set of predictions. We'll first introduce our special in-studio guest from the Express Times and Lehigh Valley Live, Mr. Brian Fortner from the RCN Sports Department, Mr. Tony Coca. Gentlemen, welcome. And now here to respond to his predictions on last week, we'd like to introduce the co-host of the program, Mr. Joseph. Where's Joe Craig? Tony, what'd you do with Joe Craig? Where is he? I can't believe it.
Nostradamus, he left.
He's not ducking out here on these predictions he made last week. I cannot. This is a new low for him.
I just wouldn't show today.
This is
why I'm here.
Yeah, just like a couple years ago when he predicted Caddy to beat Penargel by 35 right. and then disappeared. All right, so Joe, we'll have to go without him as we talk a lot about high school football. Our tip-off question, though, is going to involve the NFL question, NFL topics here. Who is the worst coach right now in the NFC East? We have an Eagles fan and a Cowboy fan here to battle this out here. Brian, we'll start with you. Who is the worst NFC East coach right now?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. There's not a lot to pick from on the good side. I don't know. I think...
Jason Garrett, he has a winning percentage over 500.
Yeah.
Even with a bad start this year.
Yeah, they've had some people that they've been missing, you know. They're missing a lot of injuries and whatnot. But I have to go with Chip Kelly right now just because of what has happened with the turnover and how he's turned over to the roster and since he's been in Philadelphia. And, it hasn't worked out the way he says it should.
All right. So, Tony, who would you like to give a vote to? You got Jason yep. Garrett, Tom Coughlin, who's been around forever, Jay Gruden, who people were all over a couple months ago, or – Chip Kelly.
He's winning. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Tom. I don't like Tom Coughlin as a, you know, just watching him on TV, I think he's a crybaby, but he's a good coach. And I agree, Brian. I think Chip Kelly, because he came in here, he made all these changes.
Bold
he
moves.
Sort of gave you this idea that this is going to be my baby. This is what I'm going to revolutionize the NFL. And, boy, right now they're just a flat tire on a bad truck.
Yeah,
really bad.
Seems strange too. He keeps bringing up players, and the kicker missed it. Otherwise, we would have won this. He's coming up with all these excuses.
He throws people under the bus.
He does. And the players that he got, you know, that he let go to bring in the talent that he has. It's, you know, you look at the Pro Bowl players, skill players, linemen, defensive players. He kind of emptied the cupboard a little bit to bring in guys that were questionable with injury.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of playing itself out.
And today, Darren Sproles, he's complaining he's not touching the ball
right.
enough. And
right.
then
Marco Murray was a couple weeks ago.
He was there, and then Matthews was complaining. I mean, his three-headed monster's falling apart.
Right.
Jason Peters is sort of, like, disgruntled. So I think if they lose to Tampa, he loses the locker room, and he may be going to USC.
And as a caveat, Jason Garrett isn't far behind him either. Dallas has a lot of problems, and you know he's got to be held accountable for a lot of it too. Him and I don't think he's a strong coach. I don't think he has much of a voice there. I think his owner, the owner there, Jerry Jones, kind of calls the shots in and out of the locker room there. But we could go on forever.
I think Garrett would be more suited to a Jeffrey Lurie type coach.
Yeah.
I mean, an owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Parcells couldn't stand Jerry Jones.
You look at that.
And he's probably one of the greatest NFL coaches.
Him and Jimmy Johnson, he ran both those very good NFL, accomplished NFL coaches out of there. And Jason Garrett, he's winning some games in spite of his owner.
Two things, Chris. Avery Williams, I'd like to, number one, I think I'm going to the Temple game tomorrow or Saturday because my grandson's playing at halftime.
Oh, great. We'll get there at 9. You get the ear warmers.
I'm going to try that. And the Navy Temple game is setting itself up. If Navy can beat Houston, then Temple continues to roll there. And in Memphis, their quarterback's like 6'7".
Yeah, he's
a big, good. He has a big time arm.
Yep. All right, we're going to have more regional and national topics coming up later in our show. High school football, though, the big game, we're going to have it tomorrow live on RCN. Tony will be there with Gary Laubach and Mike Joseph. 7 o'clock the game will be on, and then you can go to the game and then watch it because we're going to replay it again. Could be an instant classic later on that night at 10 o'clock. So two chances to catch Parkland Easton tomorrow night. Your thoughts on this game? And Easton, and real quickly, I'll play out a thought I had about the Rovers. Going into week 10, I thought Easton might have the best defense in the area. And then Nazareth, and they have a good offense, but they kind of ran up and down the field against the Rovers. They didn't win that game, but I was questioning Easton's defense. They came back and really looked solid against Freedom last week. So, Tony, can the Easton defense contain Parkland enough to give them a chance to win?
I think they can. I think Doug Powell's an excellent coach. I think he really gets his team together. My contention would be, believe it or not, can the offense stay with Parkland's offense? I mean, one of the things that, if you want to say that Easton's one-dimensional, that's not true, but they're like one and three-quarters dimensional. I mean, they're basically relying upon the running game. Mm-hmm. And if Coach Monsman over at Parkland, his defense is designed, he'll have something to take away the run game, to force Parkland Easton into doing something that they're not a wide open, throw the ball, spread you out like a Whitehall, throw you down the field, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm looking for a real good game. It's the old Ernie Banks, let's play two, and Easton and Parkland are the Chicago Cubs are always playing two.
They are. And, well, with Easton, like Tony and I talked about, we all spoke about it earlier. Easton does what Easton does. They're not going to come out and make vast changes and reinvent the wheel just because they're playing Parkland. Mm-hmm. But they'll have an answer off of what happened in the first meeting. Mm-hmm. So, but Parkland as well, and with Tim Monsman coaching the defense there, he came up with a great game plan in the first game. And, what the battle is to figure out what he's going to do to basically score some points.
Yeah, Nazir Minigratz, too. I remember, and Steve Shiffert's wonderful to talk to and give insights about his team. I remember him saying as a freshman, because he usually doesn't make bold predictions, but he said as a freshman he's going to be a special kid to watch. Is there a chance that he's had several great games all season long. Is there a chance that he can find a hole and really find holes in the Parkland defense and have a big game?
Yeah, he's a wiggler. There's no question about it. He's going to find that. You can't see him. When I stand on the sidelines, you can't see him when he's running. He gets behind. And Easton's not big offensively. And I think that will be the key, is that Easton's offensive line, as athletic as they are, I think Parkland can just handle it. And I look at Mons to give him a bear-type defense, take away the guards, take away the center, give him that three-man front, and then say, okay, you can't run. You're going to have to bounce it to the outside, and I have enough perimeter people to close it down. So if I'm not giving away anything, and I haven't talked to Tim, don't get me wrong, but if I'm designing that, I'm going to design some type of bear defense, a 53, and say, okay, beat me throwing the ball, which I don't think Easton has the people, but I don't think they do it enough to say, let's get into a shootout.
Yeah. And like you said, Parkland has the athletes on the outside, on the corners, and in their secondary to cover that as well. And the other factor is Trey Dura, and is he going to be healthy? Is he going to play? Mm-hmm. Is Minigratz, he was hobbled a little bit last week. I think last week was only the third game all year. He was held under 100 yards, and he was struggling to get the 81 yards that he did get. So they have to be. They need all their bullets.
Yeah. And Parkland can light up the scoreboard offensively too. We're giving a lot of credit to Tim, but that offense that they have over there at Parkland can light it. It's just a matter that we're at that time of the year where they say defenses win championships. Mm-hmm. This is that time of the year where the defenses usually stand out.
Yeah. One other question about Parkland too. I know you touched on this along with Gary and Mike during the Mayus game, and I kind of saw it. They got off to a slow start again against Del Valle. Maybe Del Valle was just, they did some things creatively or did something special, but they were in that ball game for a little bit before Parkland got their wheels going. And they've traditionally this year gotten off to some slow starts. Is that a problem? Do you see it you know, lingering, if they have to get out to a they have to avoid a slow start against Easton on Friday?
In a game like this, yes. Mm-hmm. They got to come off the bus ready to play. They just can't do the old, let's go into the first round, punch each other out and feel each other out and find out which way we're going to go. I think Parkland needs to come out, especially against an Easton team. You got to take charge and dictate to Easton, because if you don't do that, Easton has the athletes that they can just, they can play with you. And Easton, all Schiffer does is win. Mm. Like, you know, the guy's been there for 92 years, but
he wins 11 games a year.
You know?
All right. So that will be the live game tomorrow night. Do you guys dare make a prediction here? Dare I ask you? Brian, can I pin you down for what to expect here, score-wise?
Score-wise, I have to go with Parkland. And I think it might be similar to the first meeting, you know. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, you know. I would say 17-7.
17-7? Tony?
I'm on the sideline, and I don't need Schiffer to kick me in the shins. And I don't need
high scoring or low scoring? How about that?
I think, to be honest with you, it's going to be a sort of a mid score, a 28-27 type for the winner.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, I think that. I don't know if that's high scoring in the way football is today.
That's true.
High scoring to me is 40.
Is that 73-54?
No, I think it's going to be somewhere in the 28-24 range either way.
All right, people can vote on this game on our Twitter page. You can vote for either Parkland or Easton and also give us a suggested score for that game. You can either use the hashtag RCN Sports Talk or go to my Twitter page, which is the handle Sports, T-H-U-R-S. And we'll take some votes during the show, and also we'll have the results a little later in our program. We also have trivia coming up. We'll also have Liberty at the 4A level. We have the 3A and 2A championships also that we're going to be talking about that will be this weekend. We'll get some thoughts on that. And, of course, we have the trivia and the roundtable all coming up. Right now, we'll head back to the D.C. area and get an update on some of the teams and some highlights from the game of the week down in the Washington area.
This is your DKN Sports Minute. The division-leading Wilson Tigers face the playoff hopeful Blue Knights in a continuation game from October 9th. We pick up right where we left off with Wilson leading 8-0. First and goal quarterback Steven Williams takes the QB sneak in for a 2-yard touchdown. Wilson goes up 14-0. Blue running back Jamal Speaks takes the handoff in for a 1-yard score. Wilson still up 14-7. Wilson comes right back as number 2 Sean Savoy takes a screen pass and breaks loose on a 45-yard scamper to the end zone for a touchdown. Wilson up 20-7. With less than 20 seconds to go to the half, QB Keontae Johnson fires a 30-yard touchdown strike to number 4 Marquise Hamilton. Wilson still up 20-14. Wilson seals the deal as Williams throws a strike to Caleb Coleman for an 18-yard TD. Wilson wins 34-17. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Tony Coca from the RCN Sports Department, Brian Fortner from the Express Times and LehighValleyLive.com. Joe Craig has decided to take a vacation. Tony, you're welcome to do the Joe Craig take. All right. We also have that poll out there where we want people to vote on Twitter. Parkland or Easton, who do you think is going to win that game? You can go to at Sports Talk, T-H-U-R-S on Twitter and vote. We've got quite a few votes so far. Dan P says Easton 16-14, and we'll also throw in Liberty's going to win 35-28. We'll talk about the Hurricanes in just a second. Brian P says Parkland will win 21-17. So we'll take some more votes and have the results later in tonight's program. Right now it is time for the trivia question here on RCN Sports Talk, a chance to give you a very nice prize. In fact, we have two prizes. More details on the second prize in a second. But first, the question. Kirk Cousins, someone who Joe Craig was bemoaning and saying was a bum a few months ago, was the Offensive Player of the Week for the second time in the NFC this past week. He became the first Redskin quarterback to do something not accomplished since Joe Theismann did it back in 1983. What was it? What was the thing that Kirk Cousins accomplished last week, becoming the first Redskin quarterback to do that since Joe Theismann back in 1983? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
There's more, a special extra prize. We have a Cody Ashe figurine. Cody Ashe, third baseman and left fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies. We have a figurine in addition to the video on demand certificate to give away for tonight's question, which is, Kirk Cousins became the first Redskin quarterback to do something not accomplished since 1983 by Joe Theismann. We need you to correctly identify what it is for the prizes. All right, continuing with the high school conversation, Liberty Hurricanes, they looked really good last week against Stroudsburg. I know the quality of opponents for Stroudsburg, not quite as good as Liberty has seen all year long. But I think the big key is that Liberty was consistent and they tackled well, which has been big concerns all year long. Brian, your thoughts on the Hurricanes and your thoughts on the Wyoming Valley West, a team that was supposed to have this great defense, right, and Nazareth exposed them and scored several times against them, but eventually lost to Wyoming Valley West.
Yeah, I think this game with Liberty and Wyoming Valley West kind of mirrors a little bit what might happen, what happened with against Nazareth with Wyoming Valley West, whereas Nazareth was able to hit some big plays in the passing game. But Wyoming Valley West, with their offense, just, you know, running the ball. You know, I think they had close to 400 yards rushing. I think Liberty can do the same. You know what I mean? They can score with Ernie as at quarterback, and you know they have a plethora of receivers. Yeah. He throws the ball all over the place. A lot of speed, a lot of athletes. The key is going to be Liberty, you know, being able to stop them. You know, slow them down. You know, enough to maybe even put together a drive or two, and you know, just they're going to have to outscore them. Yeah. So.
And Tony, I almost feel like a broken record because every time we have Liberty on TV, every time we talk about him, it's consistency and tackling. I mean, it's easy to say, but how hard is that to express and to get on a regular basis?
Yeah, and that's the key, consistency. I think if there's one thing that I saw in the games that I saw against Liberty is that one day they're playing like they could beat the New England Patriots, not really, but the next week they look like they can't beat the Sisters of the Poor. I mean, it's just inconsistent. They don't get off the bus all the time saying, here we are, ready to go and click. And I think as Ernie goes, Liberty's going to go. There's no question about it. He's their leader. I like the kid a lot. If I had to build a quarterback, I like to throw the ball. He would be it. I think against the Wyoming Valley West team, I think you got to move Ernie a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe not roll him, but dash him. Set him up behind the tackle. Get him and get that perimeter and those speedsters into the game. I'm looking for a game much like what you're saying, Brian. Yeah. I think if Wyoming Valley West wins, what it's going to be we scored more points than Liberty did. I don't think it's going to be a 14-13 game. I think it could be one of them 49-42 with the ball last Wednesday.
And that's what I was alluding to as far as what Nazareth did to Wyoming Valley West with their quarterback, Travis Stefanik. He had, you know, he piled up a lot of rushing yards, you know, and you know, with his wideouts, Liachi and Dotson on the outside, speedsters. And Liberty has some, I don't want to say they're as good as those two are best in the conference, but they're good. You know, they're quick, they're fast, and, you know, they can get you big chunks in a hurry, too.
I think Liberty's got, and again, like Parkland, they got to come off the bus ready to play.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be, you got to travel there. This is the high school difference. I'm in a school bus. I'm traveling up wherever the heck I'm traveling to Wyoming. I'm going to get into that nice stadium, little podunk towns. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to get in there, and all of a sudden it's like it's sort of semi-coal region football. Mm-hmm. They're not more than one-dimensional. We're going to run the ball and just beat the tar out of you. We're going to try to beat you in the submission. And I think Liberty has got to come out, be physical, get off the bus right away, and I think as Ernie goes, Liberty's going
to
go.
All right, let's get to some of the emails, too, about some high school football games this weekend. First of all, Andrew says, don't you think Parkland would be able to throw over the top of Easton and make an easy game of it? Can, no. You think they can throw over the top?
I know
they have Yeboah, but
yeah, I know Yeboah and you know, and you know, I think Parkland's way of beating Easton would be to control the clock a little bit on them too, to keep Minnie Grant's on the sideline a little bit. And I think you're going to see. I see the running game there. Yes, they can throw over them, but I think Powell design a more of a cover four type situation back there and give you, instead of doing a cover zero, a man type thing, I'm going to give cover four. I'm going to do double coverage on Yeboah and take away him, and then I'll sort of play zone on the rest of them on the backside.
And Parkland was having a lot of success with that inside slant to Nolan Ridgeway last week, which I'm sure Easton's going to be prepared for. Mm-hmm. Brian, you have thoughts on this?
Well, I by watching Easton a few times this year, they match up, I think, pretty well with Parkland on the outside as far as their cornerbacks. You know, you get Nathan Moser, he's an interception machine. You know, I think he has at least two picks for touchdowns, maybe more this year if my memory, because I saw one or two of those this year, and he's a ball hawk, and they play good. You know, they're tough. You know, pass rushing off the edges, and I think they, you know, I don't think it's going to be as easy as the emailer thinks it's going to be.
All right, Cindy actually has an email about something we were just talking about in the studio here. She asks, if Parkland wins, when they host a game next week? Not necessarily. If Wyoming Valley West wins, they're the number one seed. So Parkland, if they win, they would have to go up there. In fact, even if Easton would win, they would have to go up there. If Liberty loses, Wyoming Valley West would host next week's game. Yeah. If I've done that correctly.
Yep.
Do you figure out those PowerPoints?
No, when I was coaching, I'd go to the AD and say, "Hey, Kratz, who are we playing? Right. Are we home or away?" You know, you try to get into that, and you got to be a physicist, an astronomical, whatever, and it's just crazy,
major.
Mathematician, and I am terrible. I could not. I can't balance a checkbook.
Me either. Me neither.
I think you know this person. Dan from Whitehall says, how did you get Tony Coca on your show? I thought he was in Florida. You know what? You are a trendsetter, because every time I look you up on Facebook, you're in San Diego, you're in New England, Florida. Do you ever get home anymore?
I went down last week. My son, John, Navy aviator, he just came back from the Middle East, so we went down to see him. Yeah. And we are grandparents again. I have a brand new little boy, Brooks, he's a month old. He's about the big as a football. And so we went good down stuff. There. It was just a quick in, out, say hello, boom. I know I had to work this game, so I had to be back here.
Did you have your grandson in pads yet?
No, not him, but the other two do. And interesting to watch Alex go down to the Temple and play at halftime on that. It's just terrible football, but we're going to watch it.
Okay, we appreciate all the votes again on our Twitter page. Handle Sports Talk THURS. One more comment though here. Liberty, do you think if they win this weekend, they would have a chance to beat either Easton or Parkland in the district final?
Oh, sure. No question. Once you're in the tournament, it's anybody's tournament. And if one team doesn't come to play, I think they definitely have a chance. I'm not saying that they would be prohibitive favorites against Easton or Parkland. Yeah. I think they would be the underdog in this case, because Parkland's going to remember that. And if you remember that game, Liberty goes out and then Parkland starts to make the comeback, and then the clock just went away. If there was a fifth quarter, I think Liberty might have lost that game. Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on the 3A and 2A teams. First of all, Saucon Valley. And I know in the morning call there was a comment, I think, by Joe Henrich saying that it was a devastating loss. I've seen a lot of Saucon Valley over the last couple of years. I wasn't as surprised as a lot of people because of that defense. And everyone was saying, well, Elvin Culver has to do this. They got to pass the ball. But that defense was something that I thought Becca had to be prepared for, and I don't think they were. But your thoughts on the Becca loss and Saucon Valley, their advancement to play in the championship this weekend against Lehigh?
Myself, I wasn't as surprised either. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be a toss-up. I wasn't as confident that Bethlehem Catholic would win as Joe was, you know what I mean?
Only two touchdowns.
Yeah, from seeing Bethlehem Catholic and from seeing Saucon Valley, Saucon Valley's tough. Yeah, like you said, their defense is really good, and you can't discount the athletes they have for what they do on offense. Evan Culver and Zach Thatcher, you know, they can throw the ball when they have to, but they don't really have to. You know what I mean? They haven't had to, I should say. And on defense, they're They're very solid. They don't make mistakes. They had a game plan. Matt Ivancho coming from Wilson. Yep. He was a defensive coordinator at Wilson when Wilson was awesome. Yep. You know what I mean? So he knows how to scheme as well. So he had a great game plan against them, and he just shut them down. You know, and the only thing watching the game, I wasn't nervous, but I was thinking, this is too close, because Bethlehem Catholic has the athletes to hit that one big play, and before you know it, the game's tied. Things yeah. happen. You know, these are high school kids, and the game, you know, it could turn into a, you know, a last minute win for Bethlehem Catholic. But that never happened, and that's a testament to that defense.
All right, let me interrupt for a second here. Let's go to the phone lines. We have John from Hellertown. Would like to take a shot at our trivia question. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Fine. The answer is he had a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3.
Well, that's not what we were looking for.
Okay.
But did they have the quarterback rating back when
I think it was
played?
Different. I don't
yeah,
know.
It was a different rating.
It was a different
I don't know.
Type.
There was a lot more different. Today it's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. Yeah.
It's algebra today.
Yeah. It's hard to figure out. All right, John, thanks for your email. You're rooting for Saugan Valley, by the way? So we're talking about the Panthers?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I think they got a good shot against the Indians.
Hopefully they'll win.
All right. Yep, looking forward. We're going to have that game on tape delay, 9:30 on Saturday, too. So
okay,
best of
great.
Luck to your Panthers. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Let's do thumbs up, thumbs down here before we head out and close up this shop for this segment. Thumbs up, thumbs down is where our panelists all identify someone in the world of sports for doing something either extraordinarily well or something not so well. Tony, we'll start it off with you.
I'm going to give a thumbs down to Chip Kelly because he was the hope for Philadelphia. I mean, the Phillies are absolutely, they're putrid. The Sixers are beyond putrid. Yes. The Flyers, I think Hextall has a plan. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be 2-3 years away from until the Flyers are back to Stanley Cup contention. And I think that Philadelphia put everything into Chip Kelly because he came in here, he had the master plan, he was going to be this so-called genius coming in here. And I'm not saying he's a stupid football player, he's far smarter than I would ever be. But I just think it's been such a downer for Philadelphia. In fact, I was just listening to the talk show, which is terrible in Philadelphia because their talk shows are the same everywhere. I'm down in Jacksonville. They're ripping the Jaguars just like we ripped the Eagles up here. But I'll be honest with you, I just think thumbs down to him because he gave Philly hope. And I don't know if there is any hope right now.
By the way, the winning percentage of the Eagles, Flyers, and Sixers this fall is .256 combined between those two
teams.
That's
bad.
Yeah. Brian, who'd you like to give thumbs up or thumbs down to?
Well, I kind of stole my thunder here on the last segment because I was going to talk about Saucon Valley's defense, and I wanted to single out a linebacker that I've seen a few times this year who is just, I think he's got to be one of the best in the region. And well, he is one of the best in the region. Christian Carvis, such a good player. He's a solid, you know, plays inside linebacker, like your throwback inside linebackers. When he hits you, he tackles you. I love the aggression. He's quick to the ball, hits like a truck. And when he gets his arms on you, he's not just going to drag you to the ground. He's going to put you to the ground. And I think he's the heart and soul of that defense. You know, he makes that tick. And I just wanted to give a thumbs up to Saucon. You know, coming off last year in the districts, you know, they got beat 49-7 to Bethlehem Catholic. And to turn around and come away with a win and have a chance to win a district title this week, it's pretty impressive. Thumbs up to Salk.
All right, and a quick reminder, we have that trivia question out there. Kirk Cousins became the first Redskin quarterback to do something not accomplished since Joe Theismann did it back in 1983. We need you to correctly identify what we're looking for, a video on demand, a certificate, and a figurine. Cody Ashey of the Philadelphia Phillies will be a special prize in addition to the video on demand certificate. Tony Koch and Brian Fortner are our special guests. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Brian Fortner from the Express Times and LehighValleyLive.com. Tony Koch from the RCN Sports Department joining us, talking largely high school football this segment with a roundtable coming up in just a little bit. We have that trivia question out there. Kirk Cousins became the first quarterback to do something not accomplished since Joe Theismann did it back in 1983. We need you to match exactly what we have here. And also, we'll have our voting for Parkland versus Easton. Who do you think will win? Get on our Twitter page, hashtag RCN Sports Talk, and vote. The results also coming up in just a few minutes. Let's go back to the phone lines and go to Mick in Bethlehem. Mick, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hello.
Hi, Mick. Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And I think Joe Theismann and Kirk Cousins each had 33 completions in a game.
Well, I'm not sure about that. That's not what we're looking for. But
okay.
Yep.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, not a bad guess. Not sure if that's correct or not, but that's not what we're looking for. But thanks for chiming in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we still have that question out there looking for you to match what we have, what Kirk Cousins did, the first one to do that for the Redskins at quarterback since 1983. We also have another impromptu poll. Tony, I didn't warn you about this here. But you can also vote on what hat. Hats are becoming a big thing here in the RCN Sports Department here. So we have a picture of two of the bastions of the RCN Sports Department here. Vote for your favorite hat. We have either Tony's. I don't know what if you have a name for that. John Breidinger was calling his Vito Corleone or something like that. But if you have a favorite hat that you would like John or Tony to wear this weekend, you can vote via email or Twitter. Tony, do you have a name for that thing? And where do you get your collection
old,
of hats?
Oh, that one I bought. That one about 8 years ago, and I still have it there. I only wear it for football games, you know, one of those situations. But I have the straw hats
that's
I wear in,
calling cards,
in the summer. It covers the bald spot because the cameras are behind me. Yeah, I'm not dumb.
We can pick you out down below.
Yeah, they got this big glow that they get. Like, get Tony a hat. We're killing the cameras.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get a couple more emails in here. Again, we're taking votes on Parkland Easton, but Rob has a question about Parkland Easton. Do you think Easton can have an answer to Devontae Cross? He's an excellent quarterback and runs the football very well.
Yeah, I think if I'm Coach Powell, I'm coming at him. I'm just coming off the corners at him. I'm going to try to get to him and just try to put my helmet in his ear. I mean, it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but I think that to get a quarterback like Devontae Cross out of his game, you got to hit him.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, but I'm pressuring him. I'm coming. I'm saying, hey, we got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Let's go after him, boys. Let's go. We're coming off the corner. I'm bringing safety. I'm bringing corner blitz. I'm not going to come up the middle on him because that opens up the middle, but I'm coming off the boundary or I'm coming off the field at him and trying to hit him that way.
Yeah. And I think they have the DNs to do that, too. You know, Easton, you know, with Delonte Caldwell, mm-hmm. one of the ones that he's had a great year. You know, he blocking passes, sacks, you know, but like you said, you flush him, or even, you know, if you're coming off the edges and you give him that middle, he can take off, you know, and then it's a tough
assignment. All right, thanks to everyone for their email and tweets. One email I got to get to, though, or I'll be in some hot water here. Andy Weaver, Tony, I know you're very good friends with him.
Yep.
You take a second to thank Tony Coca and welcome him to the Nazareth coaching staff. So congratulations for all of us, and especially from Andy Weaver there.
Softball, here I come. Look out.
Yeah, that, in a few weeks, that'll be looking pretty good when the snow starts falling. In fact, they went snow this weekend, I think.
I'm looking forward to getting back. It's in me. Yeah. I just got to coach. People say, why are you doing this? I say, I'm insane.
One other team I wanted to ask you about, and that's Notre Dame. They're playing for a 2A championship. I think it's going to be a very good ball game. Northwestern was a team that lost a lot of people to graduation. Some people thought, okay, they're going to retool or rebuild or whatever, not be as good. But they're right there in the final. What do you think about Notre Dame, Northwestern? Brian, we'll start with you.
Well, I think you guys talked about Parkland Easton being the big game of the week, but I think this is the big game of the week. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to be there covering it, frankly. But no, I think it's going to be a great game. I think it sets up perfectly. You have a relative newcomer in Notre Dame into the district finals picture. And then you have going up against a defending district champion in Northwestern, defending 2A champs. Notre Dame's coming off a 0-10 season last year. Now they're a 10-win team. We're all talking about that. They're not as new as everyone thinks, you know, program-wise maybe, but they have a bunch of kids since Pius shuttered their doors, you know, at the end of last year. You know, a lot of the kids, including Trey Jordan, their quarterback, who's dynamic, mm-hmm. you know, he comes over and, you know, they've meshed with what was already there at Notre Dame, and they got a nice squad. I think it's going to be a really good game. Good offenses. Harry Hall, great running back.
Very
from
underrated.
Northwestern, very underrated.
District in rushing.
How about that? He leads a district in rushing. I think he's going for 7,000 yards in his career. Pretty impressive. So I know Northwestern, you know, they have a score to settle. And Notre Dame, they're out for something that they've never tasted before. So I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Yep. It's going to be packed, you know. I'm looking forward to it. Yep.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Ted in Northampton wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Ted, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Yep.
Hi, Ted, you're on.
Okay. I think it's completions, 33.
That's a good guess, too. That's not what we were looking for, though, tonight.
No.
Thanks for getting in contact
with us. All right, thanks.
All right, still looking for, we went need you to match what Kirk Cousins did. He was the first Redskin quarterback. This was all over ESPN. I thought this was going to be easy, but we're still looking for the thing that we have here that Kirk Cousins did, first Redskin quarterback to do this since Joe Theismann did back in 1983. Our final segment of RCN Sports Talk is still coming up. We have the poll results, and we'll see if anyone can answer that trivia question, and Matt's our answer. Quick reminder, though, of the schedule coming up this weekend on RCN. Of course, Easton Parkland, we're going to have that live at 7 o'clock, and then that will replay at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, so you can see the game and then come back and listen to Gary, Mike, and Tony call the game. Lafayette Lehigh, we'll have that live at 12:30 on Saturday, the big game, Lehigh-Lafayette. And then that will replay as well that evening at 6:30. And then we'll have the 3A final, Saucon Valley versus Lee Hyten, on at 9:30 Saturday night. Final segment of Sports Talk is straight ahead.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. To the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Quick reminder that we did not get the correct answer for our trivia question. We were looking for you to match what we had. Kirk Cousins became the first Redskin quarterback to do something not accomplished since Joe Theismann did it back in 1983. So people watching us on replay or video on demand or listening to us on our podcast can email the correct answer to us. Email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Include your mailing address and we'll mail you out a certificate. We also have the Cody Ashy figurine to give away. So again, email the correct answer to us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. We'll take multiple, if we get multiple correct answers, we'll have a drawing on our next show. But you can email us and get in contact with us for that nice prize. The results of our poll last week, we had Easton winning by a 3-1 margin over Freedom in that ball game. This week, the Sports Talk prognosticators by a little more than a 2-1 margin says Parkland is going to beat Easton on Friday night. So there you go with that. Time for a round table, and we're short on time, so we're going to jump right into topic number one. In honor of the upcoming anniversary of the Mark Sanchez butt fumble game, and of course he's taking over the reins apparently.
That is
the Eagles once again. What is the worst football play that you've ever seen? Any level, high school, college, pros. Brian, we'll start with you.
Oh, man, that's hard. That's a tough one to think. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I can't come up with one. That was the first one I thought of. And either that or the Giants-Eagles, Herm Edwards, what did they call it?
With Joe Miracle at the Meadowlands.
Miracle at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, the handoff by Nzonka just let it go.
Yeah.
Right?
Tony, what's the worst play you've ever seen?
Oh, wow, man. I've been involved in a lot of them. Coaching wise, that's a tough one. I'll go back to Sunday, where that ball was batted like 20 feet in the air, and no one knew where it was for the Eagles. All they had to do was tackle the guy in the end zone, knock it out of his hands. I mean, right then and there, it cost them the Miami game.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Topic number two: two key players to watch this weekend. Can be again high school, college, or the pros. Tony, we'll start with you.
I think one is going to be Barkley against Michigan.
Mm.
I think Barkley is the real deal.
Yeah.
The only thing that will, I think, keep Barkley from making the national level big time is that he could get beat up over 4 years in a Big Ten conference, you know, but he doesn't seem to be there. I think that's a good one. And I'm going to go to my football team. It's my favorite. It's the Navy football team. And, you know, just watching their quarterback continue to set records down there. He has 81 touchdowns now over a career, and he's got a lot of games to go.
All right. Brian, two players you're watching this
week. Okay. The one, I'm going to sound like a homer, but I'm going to watch Tony Romo. He's coming back for the Cowboys, and I think the one thing that it's what's going to happen this week, win or lose, is, you know, in the weeks moving forward, starting with this week, I don't think Tony Romo is the answer to all Dallas's prayers.
Oh, that wait a minute. Isn't that against the code, the Cowboys code, to talk about Romo?
Well, I think he's going to help, but I think there's a lot more problems with the Cowboys than Tony Romo.
Okay, 30 seconds for your other player to
go on. Harry Hall. I'm anxious to watch him. I didn't get the chance to see him live this week, and I'm just anxious to see the leading rusher in the region.
Yeah. Should be a great week in high school football. Yep. My thanks to Tony Koch and Brian Fortner for being here. Again, some great football action coming up this weekend. We hope you check it out on RCN TV. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another live edition of Sports Talk. And once again, everyone, have a great Thanksgiving. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night.